This is your morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, September 26th. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. First, some interesting listener feedback. I mentioned the GQ profile of Apple's Eddie Q on Monday's Buzzcast, and one loyal listener followed up and felt I almost undersold the story. As the listener said, the story really captures Q personally and has real insight into how Eddie Q and Apple are approaching the live game distribution business in a meaningful way. The listener called Q one of the most genuine and nice guys around sports who will be incredibly influential in the way we consume sports. So think of that as a more effective and convincing argument to read GQ's profile of Eddie Q. Let's move on. Range Sports has acquired Lowell Tubbs Stoke Management Group, which is a three-year-old talent representation firm largely centered on Olympic sports athletes, including Chloe Kim in snowboarding and Sky Brown in skateboarding. As part of the deal, Lowell Tubbs becomes chief revenue officer at Range Sports. He will also assume the role of head of athlete marketing. Now, Stoke Management has five total employees, so the acquisition will grow Range Sports' total headcount to over 20 employees. With this deal, Range Sports, which was founded in July of 2022 and stems from its parent company, Range Media Partners, now has a portfolio of around 60 athletes. So it's certainly leaning into the talent representation business. And there is a history here, as Range Sports co-president Greg Luckman and Lowell Tubbs worked together at CAA Sports for around a decade. Now they're reunited at Range Sports. You know, one league that we talked about a little bit at Drive in St. Louis was the Professional Women's Hockey League. That league is set to launch in early January in six markets, have 24 games. Now comes decisions about where those six teams will play. And a report out of St. Paul suggests a deal could be close between the XL Energy Center and the franchise, which will be based in Minnesota. And that would be surprising and a big deal for the league. Surprising is that it's a big facility, but it also shows how the league is working to professionalize women's hockey. League leaders have said they don't expect the six teams to play all of their 12 home games in one place. So there could be a rotation, and some of those games could be played at XL Energy Center. But this all feeds into the interesting expectations around this league, which is funded by Dodgers co-owner Mark Walter and is really touting its efforts to amplify the playing experience, the surroundings, and all the good and welfare for the players. For example, player salaries will range from $35,000 to $80,000 for a season. Organizers are touting a very professional environment. The Professional Women's Hockey League will have three teams in the U.S., three teams in Canada. The U.S. teams are Boston, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and the New York City area. The Canadian franchises are located in Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa, so obviously hockey hotbeds to start the Professional Women's Hockey League, which will launch in January. It's not every day that a major tennis tournament is in play to relocate, but you have that as the future of the Western and Southern Open, which has been played just outside Cincinnati, Ohio for years, is up for grabs between remaining in Ohio or relocating to Charlotte, North Carolina. Here is the latest around the future of one of the top tennis tournaments in the world. It really is. It's a significant dual event, men's and women's, in August leading up to the U.S. Open. It draws some of the best players in the world. So this is a marquee event. Right now in North Carolina, the state, county, and city have come up with about $115 million to secure the event. But that's still about $15 to $20 million shy of what developers said they wanted covered. They wanted about a third of the $400 million projected cost of the plan to be covered. Now, BMOC Capital, which is led by Ben Navarro, based in South Carolina, They are looking at that figure to move the event from Cincinnati to Charlotte. That would mean building an entirely new tennis complex in the city. Now, BMO Capital bought the Western and Southern Open from the USTA last October. They kind of set up a competition between Cincinnati and Charlotte last May. It's requested public subsidies from both entities to cover about a third of the development expenses around the tournament. That amounts to $400 million for that new facility in Charlotte, but about $150 million for an expansion of the facility just outside Cincinnati in Mason, Ohio. Ohio largely has its funding in place. It's covering about 32% of the expansion of that tennis facility in Mason. So you see the different economics here. One is an entirely new complex in Charlotte. One is a renovated facility in Ohio. North Carolina right now is a little short in the total public subsidy that BMO Capital wants. So they have a decision to make. A decision is expected soon whether to stay in Ohio or relocate to North Carolina. And this is one decision that everyone in the tennis world and the agency world and anybody with any type of business related to tennis is watching very closely. Let's hit on some college football news because, boy, college football's biggest brands continue to draw major viewership. We've seen the effect of Coach Prime, but Saturday night showed how marquee names like Ohio State and Notre Dame still draw, as NBC drew its largest regular season college football audience in 30 years. With Saturday night's game between Ohio State, Notre Dame, great game all the way to the end. It averaged 10.5 million viewers. The game ranks as NBC's second best regular season college football game all time. It's behind only a game in 1993, which I remember watching with some buddies. Notre Dame, Florida State, 1993. That game drew 22 million viewers, of course, a far different time in the media landscape. Yesterday, I was asked how much of the viewership of Saturday's game represented linear versus streaming. And I found out that the game drew just over 600,000 viewers on streaming platforms, including Peacock. That marks NBC Sports' most streamed college football game ever. So that's an interesting breakdown between streaming versus linear viewership. Still, largely a linear audience, but college football on NBC seeing a very strong number Saturday night for Ohio State and Notre Dame. Meanwhile, leaders in the college football playoff will meet today, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But their task is difficult as they are still trying to make a decision on whether the number of places reserved for conference champions in the soon-to-be-expanded field of the college football playoff, should it be at 5 or should it be at 6? But they really can't make that decision until they figure out what's going to happen with the Pac-2. The 10 conference commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director, which comprise the college football playoff management committee, will meet at the Big Ten offices outside of Chicago. And we know the playoff expands from 4 teams to 12. And again, the leaders have agreed the field should be made up of the 6 highest ranked conference champions and 6 at-large selections. But I think they're still unclear. Will there be 6 conference champions to choose from or only 5? So a lot still to decide, a lot still to be worked out. I doubt they'll have a decision by the end of Wednesday, but they'll have to make a decision sometime soon, and this is a tough one. Speaking of the Big Ten, it has its first ever chief marketing officer, as former Major League Baseball marketing executive Mary Beck will take that position again, the first time the Big Ten has ever had a chief marketing officer. Mary Beck worked with Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti when Petitti was at Major League Baseball and at Major League Baseball Network, and now she joins him at the Big Ten. She told our Terry Lefton that the conference has a different story to tell with the arrival of the 4 new Western schools, USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon, coming on board next year. So there's an interesting new storyline to create. Mary Beck will be based in Connecticut, but I'm sure she'll go to the Big Ten offices outside Chicago. Also, a great deal of travel to all the Big Ten schools. After her 19 years at Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Network, Mary Beck spent the past few years working for VaynerMedia. Now she joins the Big Ten as its first ever chief marketing officer. And that is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, September 26th. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Wednesday.